speed. Don't do crack, don't do coke, I do smoke weed. Don't do smack, I do do shrooms, do drink beer. I just wanna make a few things clear. My baby mama's not dead, she's still alive and bitching. And I don't have herpes, my dick's just itching. It's not syphilis, and it's for being AIDS infested. I don't know yet, I'm too scared to get tested.
I got mushrooms, I got acid, I got tabs and aspirin tablets. I'm your brother when you need some good weed to set you free. You know me, I'm your friend when you need a mini thing. I'm Sadie.
I told you I was Sadie. Y'all didn't wanna believe me. I'm Sadie. And that's my name.
Yep. I wasn't gonna give you a quadruple shot. Let me tell you, man. I heard a few things this morning on Star and Buckwild about Slim Shady. He's putting out a new album, which should be dropping like in 8 months, and supposedly he ain't gonna be rapping about baby mama drama. He ain't gonna be rapping about his mama drama. He ain't gonna be rapping about any of that type of fucking drama. He's gonna be on some fucking serious shit, and Star, who I fucking respect his opinion on music highly and dearly, because he's got a lot of knowledge. He's got a lot of knowledge about the business, and he's a funny motherfucker. But anyway, he was talking about Shady and his new record, and he was actually telling those other rappers that, you know, they better watch themselves, because Homeboy is definitely grinding, like the immortal words of Star himself, grinding. He's grinding that shit. But, I mean, let me tell you, man, I always thought Slim Shady was a Mac, and he is the man. I mean, I don't want to suck his dick like Chuck Serta does, but, because that's what he told me this morning in the car when I was giving him a ride to his office. He was talking about how he wanted to blow Slim Shady. Oh, I would love Slim Shady to put it in my tight ass, and when I fart, it sounds like this, and yada yada, you know? I don't know, a bunch of shit. Anyway, top senior jumped at Brooklyn's troubled Lafayette. A top senior at Lafayette High School was jumped and beaten in a racially motivated attack this week amid growing signs that the Brooklyn school is out of control. Sukwo Ching, who's 96.86 grade point average, makes him the likely valedictorian next spring, was knocked unconscious for several minutes in the gang attack Thursday. "I was blacked out," the 18-year-old student said. When I came to, people from the school were asking me, "Do you understand English? Are you all right?" The high-achieving teen said he was leaving school in the afternoon when he was jumped by a group of 5 or 6 black teenagers, most of whom are believed to be students at the school. It had to be black guys. Why is black people and Chinese people always getting into... Why are niggers and chinks, okay, niggers and chinks always getting into beef? What is it? Like, they did that whole movie Romeo and Juliet about it, and that's where I got, like, the first signs, and I was actually schooled on the nigger-chink problem that we have in the U.S. I couldn't believe that there was this nigger-chink problem. Like, why can't nigger-chinks just get along? I just don't get it. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's a penis thing. Taunting him with racial slurs, the thugs kicked him and repeatedly punched Ching's head. He was treated at Coney Island Hospital, but one Lafayette teacher, concerned that Ching was still dizzy last night, was going to take him for more tests. Something has to change at this school, the teacher said. Despite his injuries, Ching, who has his sights set on Columbia or Cornell universities, said he still plans to retake the SAT today to try for a perfect 800 score in his math. The assault... Very smart guy, huh? The assault in the latest sign of chaos at the 3,200 student high school where another student said she was driven out by a bully and her unsympathetic principal this week. All of good kids are leaving, Cheng said. Lafayette was one of seven high schools citywide that got an infusion of extra security agents last month because of repeated complaints from teachers that the building is unsafe. Teachers threatened to walk off the job, saying troublemaking students ruled the hallways, fought, and even set bulletin boards on fire. Just this week, a student, Crystal Collado, transferred from Lafayette after she said the principal and assistant principal, I was reading this off the post and they misspelled a word and it threw me off. Anyway, just this week, a student, Crystal Collado, transferred from Lafayette after she said that the principal and assistant principal, got her in trouble over a poem on high school violence. Was enlightened in the Daily News. The girl wrote a poem about high school violence, and the principal and assistant principal drove her out of the school because she put the word out and people listened. Harassment denied. Students pay with punches, bloody noses, and empty pockets, pay with their time, their lowered grades, and emptied lockers, all because a school refused to do something sooner, wrote Crystal 16. An education department spokeswoman denied the principal, Alan Siegel, harassed Crystal. Lafayette, that's what they were trying to spell. They harassed her over her poem. Lafayette's Asian students in particular have complained for several years about racial tensions that sometimes led to violence. Complaints were so frequent that former Chancellor Harold Levy convened a task force to study the issue. The school is being investigated by the Justice Department for possible civil rights abuses. 3 years ago, Chinese students accused administrators of forcing them to graduate early even though they were only juniors. Siegel could not be reached for comment last night. A spokeswoman for the school's chancellor, Joel Klein, declined to comment. Of course they're going to decline to comment. Why would they comment on that? I mean, listen. The nigger chink problem's got to stop. People, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get anywhere. Let me tell you something. I heard a little something. I'm going to tell you all right now, okay? And I was going to keep this to myself. I wasn't really going to get into this too much or whatnot. But I'm going to let everybody know. Hold that thought. FJS Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
You're talking so much shit.
What do you mean I'm talking shit?
You don't shut up.
What?
You don't shut up.
Your mom doesn't want me to shut up.
Well, you're reading, bumbling again.
No, I'm not bumbling my reading this time, pal. My reading has gotten a lot better.
I don't know. You're a fucking junkie, stupid, man.
Oh, funny Arab guy. Funky, junkie, stupid, huh?
Did you read?
Let me ask you a question.
I blow you.
Why aren't the niggers abusing Arabs?
I blow you.
Why aren't the niggers abusing the sand niggers?
We like them too.
You niggers get along, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if there's a sand in front of the nigga. It's still beige. A nigga.
It doesn't matter if you're beige, brown. We're all niggers. All of us. Happy family.
Happy family of niggers.
Yes.
No matter if there's a sand or not involved.
I blow you.
All nice in the ghetto. Take them out of the ghetto, but still can't take the ghetto out.
I blow you.
You blow me?
Yeah, I blow you and your long-haired friend.
My long-haired friend is supposed to stop by today.
But I blow you and your friends.
You blow me and my friends?
Yeah.
Maybe you want to blow Stockbroker Chuck?
No. He's dirty.
He's dirty, motherfucker, right?
I blow you for the nickels.
You blow me for a nickel?
I love the nickel, you fucking douchebag. Oh, I'm drunk again.
No, you're not drunk. You're drinking again on a Monday night?
I blow you.
You blow me.
I blow you. You blow me.
We blow happily.
We blow me. Blow me. Blow me. Blow me.
Okay. Anyway. Listen, people. I'm going to tell you all right now. I'm going to tell you all right now. Learn how to speak Chinese. You might think I'm fucking crazy, right? You might think I'm crazy, right? But think about it. How fucking... Learn how to speak some type of Asian. Some type of Asian, because... Look, the Japs and the Chinese are very, very smart. Okay, they're the reason... They're a very big reason for our technology advancements. And let me tell you something. Intel bought five huge pieces of land in Asia. They're going to build plants on them. Like power plants, like industry type shit in Asia. So if they purchase five major acres of property to build plants, what does that tell you? Do you know how many jobs are going to be created? Do you know how much the interracial mumbo jumbo, the interracial mixture, is going to flow? It's going to be ridiculous. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be ridiculous. Notice how, I mean, all our listeners right now, except for Matt, the listeners that I see that are on the IM, the only four, but we're all in some way Spanish, either Cuban or Puerto Rican. How many couples have we seen already? Like, you know, Chinese women and black men. God, it goes on and on. But look at the kids in high school and grammar school today. You don't have that many American, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids anymore. You know what I'm saying? English is still probably going to be the number one, you know, language. Spanish probably being second. Asian will most likely be third, and maybe even use just as much as English and Spanish. And this I heard from a very intelligent guy, okay, a guy who... The only reason I took seriously is because I heard it from his mouth. When he was like, listen, I'm telling you right now, learn how to speak some type of Asian. Chinese. As a matter of fact. They bought five plants in Asia. I think just in China, though. I take that back. I don't think it's just in China. I think it's in more parts of Asia. But five huge pieces of property, which they're going to build plants. And, you know, what does that tell you? You're not going to be working over there? You know? People who are going to college, you know, kids getting out of high school into the college, and businessmen, or people now working, and, you know, you're going to get paid twice as much working over there. You're not going to move over there? You know what I mean? You're stupid. You know, if currency is going to be treated the same, who knows what that's going to bring in value of currency between the two countries, you know? I don't know. But, like I said... Don't listen to me. What do I know? I'm just a burnout. Anyway, more fucked up news. First grader sends three to hospital. A Bronx first grader went berserk and tore up his classroom yesterday, tossing a chair and sending two teachers and a social worker to the hospital, school officials said. The rampage began after a six-year-old at public school 18 in Mott Haven suddenly tried to throttle another student in his class, witnesses said. Two teachers and a social worker who were in the classroom to observe the troubled boy pulled the enraged student off his classmate. The boy then picked up a chair, the boy then picked up a chair and whacked the social worker in the head. After he hit one of the teachers in the arm, the three adults finally managed to wrestle the boy to the floor. The six-year-old already had attacked two students this year, sources in the school said. The student was sent for a psychiatric evaluation. He also faces a three-day suspension and a transfer to a special education program, school officials said. The adults were taken to a nearby Lincoln Hospital where the social worker was treated for a head gash. FJS Radio. They hung up. I'm sorry. Call back. Whoever that was, call back. The students were taken to a nearby Lincoln Hospital where the social worker was treated for a head gash that took 3 staples to close. One teacher was treated for the injured arm. The second teacher, upset by the incident, was treated for nausea. Oh, would you stop? Treated for nausea? Would you shut up? Anyway, let's see who called back. I mean, let's see who called. Star 69 their ass.
Call service. The number of your last incoming call was 201-921.
Oh, I'm not going to let everybody know the rest of that number. That wouldn't be right. G. Diddy, call back. If that was you. I don't know if that was you. But anyway, can you believe that, dude? A 6-year-old, a first grader, sent 3 to the hospital, but 2 deservingly went to the hospital. He rocked a fucking social worker in the head. How fucking cool is this first grader? We need more kids like this in America. I've been hearing all this shit about how kids are crying over not winning because they're little weenies. And like, in like little leagues across America, you know, they have trophies for both winners and the losers. The competition value has been drawn out of these kids. They're pampered by their parents. They're pussies. But not this kid, baby. A 6-year-old. They didn't put his name in the paper. I guess they weren't allowed to. Wow, dude. Sent 2 teachers to the hospital, but hurt them so bad that he nauseated the 3rd teacher. Fantastic. Well, 2 teachers and a social worker, whatever. You heard the story. That's fantastic. I think more kids should be like that. I'll tell you one thing. If this Asian kid who got his ass whooped for being Asian, okay, in a Brooklyn school, would have had the balls of this 6-year-old, he wouldn't be waking up with questions asked, does he speak English, and crying about getting his ass whooped. Grow some balls, bucko. Kid hooker rate rising in the city, people. See, you want to get a kid hooker? You don't have to go on the internet. Just go to the city. Go to the city. Anyway, Kiwana was 16 when she dropped out of school and moved in with a pimp, a man who forced her to call him daddy and unleashed furious beatings if she didn't bring home enough money. 8 other prostitutes lived in the house, 6 of them also under 18. Kiwana, we'll say her name is, now 19, a youth leader, told her story yesterday to the city council committee looking into the increasing numbers of minors working as prostitutes in New York. Hang on, let's hold that thought. FJS Radio.
What up?
What up? Is this G. Diddy?
It is.
Hell yeah, talk a little louder.
It is.
Listen. Talk to me.
That Asian shit.
Yeah.
I know it's a little bit, in the past, but you're dead on with that, bro. I went to high school with some kid who actually works with me now. He's a year older than me. He knows how to speak Chinese. And he's in the international department in my fucking office and shit. And he went to Japan for like 2 years. Oh, I mean China, whatever the fuck, he knows how to speak, one of those things.
What, he went to learn how to speak it?
No, his mother, he's half Chinese, but he doesn't look it, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He's, like, thugged out, like, he's a cool kid, like, he's one of us, you know what I'm saying?
Right, he's a good fella.
Right, but, he makes an incredible amount of money, man. He does nothing at work. He makes an incredible amount of money just for knowing how to speak Chinese.
I'm on the money with that Chinese shit, right?
On the money, bro.
Dude, I'm telling you, Intel bought like 5 plants or like 5 major pieces of property to build plants in Asia. And I think most of it is in China.
Hey, bro.
Intel, bro. If everybody knows, your Pentium 4, your new brand new Pentium 4 computer that you have at home is an Intel chip. It's made by a company called Intel. And Intel is based out of the United States.
Intel in Chinese, you know what that stands for?
What?
Little cock.
Ah! Nice. They do have little cocks, those guys, though. I've never met an Asian guy who could rock my world like a black guy. I'm telling you, their dicks are too small, bro. Too small.
All right, bro. Singa sikong dong, man. Singa sikong dong.
Singa sikong dong.
See you later.
Later. Anyway, I'm telling you people, I fucking know what I'm talking about. I might not know everything, but I know a little something. I know a little something. Anyway, continue on with the, we'll go back. Kiwana, now 19, a youth leader, told her story yesterday to a city council committee looking into the increased numbers of minors working as prostitutes in New York. Across five boroughs, Kiwana estimates there are hundreds of underage hookers. But Deputy Inspector Michael Brooks, who heads the NYPD Vice Enforcement Division, said there are between 15 and 20 underage prostitutes in the city, a figure prosecutors in Brooklyn and Queens disputed. How the fuck does the NYPD know that there's only 15 to 20 underage hookers? Are you shitting me? I'm sure that in my county, the number is greater than 15, Queens Assistant District Attorney Anthony Comunillo said during yesterday's prostitution hearing. There are 400,000 underage prostitutes in the United States, including about 8,500 immigrant girls illegally trafficked into the county, according to a study by the University of Pennsylvania School of Social Work. Neither the cops nor the prosecutors who spoke before the council could say how many underage prostitutes there are in the city. Comuniello said that the number of minors working as hookers has increased at a rate of 5 to 10% per year over the last 5 years. One of the reasons is that girls are aggressively recruiting other girls, but a larger reason people turn to prostitution is because they're big money, because there's big money involved, said Brooklyn Sex Crime Bureau Chief Ronnie Johns. There's not that much money in prostitution, bro. These girls are fucking like street hookers. You know, if anybody knows, I'm not the only one that knows this. You know, maybe somebody from the 360 crew could chime in with this. A hooker is like only $20 for like a blowjob, $50 to get laid. You know what I mean? Like maybe you might get like $100 to get laid, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Like it's definitely $20 for a blowjob, dude. Trust me. And it's not just the male prostitutes. Okay? I know that male prostitutes charge 20 beans for blowjobs, and I'm sure girls do it too. As a matter of fact, I know girls do it too. Even though I've only gotten them from transvestites, I know for a fact girls only charge $20 a blowjob. Anyway, talking about blowjobs and girls, debating which private clubs are acceptable and private. We all know that there was a bit of controversy when one of these golf chicks wanted to join this private club that what's-his-face is in. Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods had a little problem getting into this club himself because he was black. And I don't know if you remember this. This was a few years ago, a couple years ago. Tiger Woods hasn't been out that long, but it's been a couple years since that incident, and there was a little... There was a little beef over that issue, over letting Tiger Woods in because he was black. There wasn't that much of a stink, but Tiger Woods was a little upset about it. Anyway, he got in. So the chick has been trying to get into this golfing fraternity or golf club where it's all males and all that, and she's making... And it's the same one Tiger Woods is in, and now Tiger Woods is saying that, well, no, these are the rules, and they should stay this way, even though the rules were changed for his nigger ass. Anyway, I'll read a little bit about this. I read this over the weekend, actually on Sunday, yesterday. I got this from the New York Times. Check it real quick. Let's see if I can... Let me just check my levels at the position that I'm in right now. Okay, cool. Anyway... Okay, there was a time not long ago when white American males of a certain class and self-image could repair to their oak-paneled rebouts. Sorry about that. I'm scratching my fucking nose. I got a cat, and I'm going to kill it. Redoubts in the company of other males like themselves to eat mediocre food, drink too much, and hobnob, secure in the knowledge that few would question their right to belong to a private club that shut out everyone else. I'm sorry, I'm getting hacked here. I'm getting hacked. As we speak, my firewall has just caught hackers trying to hack in to the Talk Show Junkie show on FJS Radio, which is only found on FunkyJunkieSuperstar.com. And I forgot to give out the number, 201-662-1654. Back to the story. I'm sorry for the distraction. Anyway, so much has changed since then. Augusta National Golf Club's current refusal to admit a female member seems like a throwback to some bygone era, back before other clubs threw in the towel. But the fact that the fight is still being fought is a testimony to Americans' ambivalence about what kind of club they feel they can justify. Somewhere between the extremes of the Ku Klux Klan and the high school philately society lie a plethora of country clubs, city clubs, athletic clubs, fraternal organizations, service clubs, and more. That vast profusion of associates hailed variously as a defining characteristic of American civic life and as an insidious and diverse force. The line between which clubs are acceptable and which are not has been a moving target, shifting over the past half century in response to the wave after wave of demographic, social, and legal change, the civil rights movement, feminism, equal opportunity laws, and discrimination laws. Certainly America has changed, and the ideas that supported those clubs are at least under suspicion, if not entirely thrown out. Nancy F. Cott, a professor of American history at Harvard, says clubs like Augusta's National are clubs like this that are under fire over these last changes over the feminism and the civil rights laws. However, a core issue that people have a right to choose their own associations in private is something that most Americans still support, and that is still a paradox. The argument over the right of clubs to discriminate pits two fundamental principle of freedom against each other: privacy versus equality, freedom of association versus freedom of access. It pits the rights of individuals to choose whom to fraternize with in private against the state's interest in preventing discrimination in public realm. If there was a time earlier in the last century when American society seemed to endorse exclusion, the balance is now tipping toward access. In the series of cases challenging the membership selection criteria of a wide range of clubs and associations over the past four decades, a Supreme Court has held that the Constitution protects two kinds of associations: private or intimate associations, or so-called expressive associations, formed to put forth a principle or idea. Clubs not distinctly private can be forced to admit groups they had excluded. In defining private, the courts have considered a range of factors, from formality of the club's admissions procedures to whether it's member owned. For example, the Supreme Court in 1988 upheld a New York law that said a club is not considered private if it had more than 400 members, provided regular meal service and regular received fees from non-members like guests. So if you are balancing the First Amendment rights to the club and the state's interest in equal rights of a woman, said Mary Ann Case, a professor of at the University of Chicago Law School, you have to look at the things like how big is the club, how committed is the club to a certain ideology, and how thoroughly exclusion matters to the purpose of the club. Whatever. Ramblings, but I will continue. Referring to Augusta National, she said, to be an expressive association, it would have to stand for something like no woman or male bonding, which is something Augusta National has been willing to say it is. I'm sorry, I take that back. I totally take that back. I read that totally wrong. Let me read that again. Referring to Augusta's National, Referring to Augustus National, she said, to be an expressive association, it would have to stand for something like no women or male bonding, which is something Augusta National has not been willing to say it is. And to be an intimate association, it would have to be a similar, more private, and less willing to take money from and admit people who are not members. Now listen, dude. I don't understand what the big fucking deal is. People should have the right to have a club members only. People shouldn't have to be bothered with this shit. Some of these organizations, whether they be secret society or not, or fraternities or whatnot, have been doing this for a century or more. Why should they have to change now? I just don't get it. Why do they have to change now? Like, I don't understand what the big fucking deal is. Why do women and gays, because both women and gays are beefing about the same thing, like gays wanting to march in the St. Patrick's parade when they already have a fucking gay pride parade, which straight people can't march in. You don't see straight people dancing around in that fucking thing. They don't want them there. They don't want straights in gay clubs. They just don't want it, but they want to be part of everything else. Do you know that gays have a gay church? Did they go to a gay church? Do you know that the church is against homosexuality, but gays have their own church? But they want to be involved in anything else. Women's organizations have their own women organizations. Women have sororities in colleges. Women, you know, why can't, you know, Augusta, these people who want to be in Augusta National, make their own fucking organization? I don't understand it. I don't know. I just don't get it, man. Leave it alone. Seriously, leave it alone. Like, why do you feel like you need to be part of every little fucking thing? I don't understand. Let me read a little bit more here. Anyway, fraternal organizations too were experiencing a heyday between the Civil War and World War I. As many as half of all adult white men belonged to at least one fraternal group, like the Masons, according to Jason Kaufman, a Harvard sociologist and author of For a Common Good, American Civic Life in the Golden Age of Fraternity. Professor Kaufman argues that our fraternal groups actually had a divisive effect on American society, often organized along what he calls ethno-national and ethno-religious identities, like Italian-American and Irish-American, that he says Americans now consider virtually primordial. Many of the things they stood for were antithetical to American ideals. And Professor Kaufman said, these groups excluded non-whites. So you could only be white. Couldn't be black, couldn't be Chinese, couldn't be any of those things. None at all. You couldn't be any of those things to get into any of these groups. And who the fuck cares? Why do you want to be in a group that doesn't want you in? It's just what I don't understand. Why do you want a fucking group that doesn't want you in? Can someone please call me up with this while I play one track and take a one-sided conversation? This is Red Hot Chili Peppers, Higher Ground, FJS Radio. Sorry, I'm back, everybody. I didn't mean to do that shit. Anyway, listen up. Nigga. Anyway, but seriously, like, why do you want to be in a club or an organization that doesn't want you in? Why do you feel the need? Why do you feel like you have the right to be in there? Why do you feel like you have the right to be a Masonry, or you have the right to be in a men's golf club if you're not a man? Why do you feel like, you know, why, if you're black, do you want to be in an all-white society? Why? I just don't get it, dude. Why do you fucking care? Is your life so fucking miserable that you just don't have anything better to do? Is that what it is? I would just like to know. Because, I don't understand why we think we have the right... I don't understand why women or anybody else, for that matter, gays or whatever, I don't see where, you know, they get off thinking that they have the right to be part of anything, to be totally honest with you. I just don't understand it. I think basically, if there's organizations out there that have been doing this for years, for whatever reason, because that's just the way it runs, that's the way they started it, that's the way they felt like having the organization. I'm sorry, but if you put all your money and all your time into something that you want, and this is the way you want it, well then fucking so be it. Why, you know, it's fucking lawyers and the media and all this bullshit, they just feel like, you know, everybody fucking feels like they need to be involved, everybody feels like, you know, that's not good enough, this is America, I want to be part of this, I want to be part of that, you have to let me in because I have rights. And no, you don't have rights. We don't want your money, we don't want your kind. I'm sorry, man, I'm not trying to be a racist, but listen, man, if it's an all-white group and they don't want blacks in it, basically, they don't want your kind. They don't want blacks, they don't want women, they don't want whatever. If they're golfers, they don't want baseball players. If they're male golfers, they don't want female golfers. They don't want baseball players, basketball players. They want golfers. So what? Do you tell me that a baseball player has the right to be involved in a golfing thing? Well, you know what I'm saying? Like a professional golfing club when they don't want people. They only want people who specifically play golf, or a baseball club, or, you know, an Italian-American club just wants Italian-American people. Either full Italian or Italian-American. Cuban clubs, Puerto Rican clubs, Spanish clubs. What's the big fucking deal? What's the big deal if we stick, if nationalities and races stick together in little organizations like clubs or associations? Why do we care? Just let them be. If they don't want you in their club, why do you feel the need to want to be in there? So what? So you can be looked at wrong? So you can be treated like shit? So you can feel like, you know, you made a stink and you got yourself in somewhere where you weren't allowed? Well, you know what? You're full of shit. You don't have anything else better to do with your life but bitch and complain and want to be part of something no one wants you a part of. So basically, if you're a woman who feels like she needs to be in a men's club or vice versa, or if you're a black guy who feels he needs to be in a white club or vice versa, kill yourself because you're a fucking loser. Because if you can't get into an organization of your own kind, or you can't hang around with your own group of friends that you feel like you need to be involved in something, you feel like you need to be a part of something that doesn't want you to be a part of, well then kill yourself, because you're a fucking loser. Because if you feel the need to get into somewhere you don't want to be, that means that your fucking own friends and family have pushed you away, because you're a fucking loser. Okay, you should die of a serious testicular or breastal cancer, is my opinion. Anyway, taking a short break. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. So I'm going to play some tunes. It is 10:38 p.m. and the show will go on a little later. But I will play you a few minutes of tunes, and then I will come back with the end of the show. So please stay tuned. It's FJS Radio, FunkyJunkieSuperstar.com. Phone number 201-662-1654. AOL Instant Messenger handle is chat in FJS chat room. Chuck Serta going to Gay Tom's house to smoke the roach left in his car. And a return the lesbian vid he rented for me last night. And no, he's not gonna suck my dick. That was Chuck Serta's instant messenger. Okay, Chuck, sure. He's gonna go return porn to this gay friend. He's gonna have his gay friend light him up again. But he's not doing anything with his gay friend. Sure. Anyway, it's FJS Radio, FunkyJunkieSuperstar.com. Phone number 201-662-1654. This is Shit on Your Face Radio. Only by the Talk Show Junkies, FJS Radio. Listen up. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few.
Good evening. You are